Hey everyone, hi, hello, welcome to another exciting episode of Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. I'm sitting here in my studio with my guest, whom I'm very excited to talk to. She is a comic, an actor. You know her from The Daily Show. You know her from The Great North. And now she has a book out called Hello Friends. Please put your hands together for Dulce Sloan.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How's it going?
It's good. I was at Southwest all last week, so that was fun. This is my fifth time going. I still don't know what it is or what anyone is doing, but there's a comedy festival that I do when I go. That's very fun.
Where do they have it?
The shows are at Esther's Follies and at the Creek in the Cave.
Okay.
So the Creek in the Cave is a comedy club, and Esther's Follies is like a performance venue.
Got it.
But so you basically, and like, they're like a block away from each other. Like literally you can like walk across the street basically.
Right.
So it's a fun little bounce back and forth. And there's a few other venues, but they're all down like 6th Street in Austin, like downtown Austin.
Is it like a crazy party? So I used to cover music. And I used to go, but many years ago when it was primarily a music festival, like you were always aware that there had been a film aspect of it.
Yeah.
And then at some point there was like an internet part of it. I don't know when the comedy part started.
I don't either. I think it was maybe 2014, perhaps. Okay. Charlie Sotelo runs it. He's amazing.
But it was
It's been longer than that for the comedy.
Really?
Because I definitely saw some shows there in 2012?
I have no idea when the comedy started. I just know that the first time I went was, I think 2017 or 2018 was the first time that I went to it. And then I alternate between South By and Moon Tower, because if you do one, you can't do the other.
Got it. My memory is that it was always like a wild kind of debauched scene.
I don't know how debauched it is, but also, like, when it's, like, you have to go to debauched. Like, you can't, like, you get invited to debauched. Like,
yes.
If you don't want to do debauched, you don't have to do debauched.
Right.
But, like, my friends dragged me. I think on Wednesday, I walked 30,000 steps.
Congratulations.
Sure. I mean, I was proud of me because, like, I wasn't sore or anything the next day. I was severely dehydrated. But, they were just like, well, we're here. We got platinum badges. We're going to everything. One of my friends kept saying, believe in the power of the badge. So, like, they had gone to, like, a Porsche event and all this other stuff. So, like, Poopery was doing the most. They had, like, secret bathrooms. And they had, like, an RF reader inside of their, like, spray things. And there was, like, a giant inflatable poop emoji that had, like, pictures. I was, like a private disco. I was like, this is a lot. So...
Secret bathrooms. How would you find out about them?
Well, the thing is, like, on the little poopery spray, you put it up to your phone.
Oh, my God.
And then this website would pop up. And when you registered, it would tell you where all the bathrooms were. And then they had a music thing they were doing. And then we saw a creepy robot. And then we saw a black hair care company. My friend got some stuff. Indonesia was there just being like, what up? So there's
just representing.
Just outside. Because like, there's a huge convention center, and then there's a music part, and then the film part, and there's an awards. So like we were trying to go, I was trying to see the Magic City movie, but we couldn't get in. Magic City is a strip club in Atlanta that's well known all over the country. But it was impossible to get in. Tom Bell, my big brother, my comedy big brother, he got in, but he watched two documentaries before that. So he's like, I'm not leaving. But it made sense because he knows like the owners and their kids, and he had like a Magic City hoodie on. So, but I got to see, like, there was a Freaknik show. So there was, like, Yin Yang Twins and Bun B. And I saw Flo Millie the next day. And I got to meet her with Mona Leo, and got to talk to her about her, like, suicide prevention a foundation that she has called One More Day. So it was a lot. And then still doing stand-up on top of all of that.
It sounds like fun and also exhausting.
Well, yeah, because then I ended up, there's this company called Link and Lou that I got this, like, permanent bracelet from. So this, like, welded on.
How do you feel? Permanent jewelry is something I've only kind of learned about somewhat recently.
Mm-hmm. I learned about it last year.
I don't know
year.
How I feel about it.
Well, I did it myself because, like, I make jewelry. I've been making it for years. And so, like, I had some chain and a jump ring. I'm like, let's just see what happens. And so I put it on myself. And I was like, yeah, I don't hate this. But I just wore it to the gold color rolled off. But this is, like, real gold that I got. So me and another comedian, Yamanika Sanders, she got one, too. So one of my friend called it, like, a jewelry tattoo is what he called it. But the girl who did my bracelet, she has the exact same filigree chain. And she said she's had hers on for, like, 3 years.
For people who are wondering, it's very pretty and it's delicate.
Yeah, it's a very thin bracelet, but hers is, she has the exact same bracelet that I have. She's had it for 3 years. She has, like, four bracelets on each wrist, three necklaces on that are permanent. She's got rings. The rings are, I'm like, I could see those just flying off your finger. But I guess they make them.
Yeah, how do they make a ring permanent? Is it like the Machine Gun Kelly, Megan Fox thing? Do you remember hearing about that?
No.
I believe they're together, right?
Oh, he has that ring where if it comes off, it'll, like, stab her
or
something?
Yes, it's got, like, barbs or something.
You know what? Honestly, girl, if you let... that's none of my business. That's not my ministry. That's none of my concern.
But if you had to weigh in, I mean, come on.
I need a new ring that's not going to make me lose a finger.
Yeah.
But, I mean, here's the thing. Did he tell her?
I assumed. If not, that's super messed up.
If he told her and she was like, okay... That's her.
Yeah.
I don't have no opinion on that man. If you tell me you gave me a ring that's going to stab me when I try to take it off, and I go, okay, give it to me. Yeah. Nobody has any place to say anything because I agreed to put on this tire-destroying ring. Yeah.
Right. It is like that. Yeah, I assumed it was sort of like when Angelina Jolie and What's-His-Face wore the blood in a vial. Like, this is just some symbolic... statement about their love.
I'm Billy more Bob behind Ford. The blood vial in the necklace than I am about the tire destroying ring.
Right. Also, my assumption about the ring is that these aren't really that sharp. Tony, you're going to have to do some. Let your fingers do. Oh, hi, Tony. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm already looking it up. He calls them thorns. He says the bands are actually thorns. All it really says is so if she tries to take it off, it hurts. Love is pain. These are quotes from him.
Does he have the same ring?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because he's only talking about hers. Yeah, it was her engagement ring, I guess.
I don't, Liz. Yeah, this just rubs me the wrong way.
This ain't none of my business.
I'm not defending it. I'm just reading you what I see.
He told her, and she went, let's get married. That ain't none of my business.
Well, you're a better person than I. I wish them nothing but the best. How do you feel about this, all the pomp and circumstance regarding poopery? Because as I was listening, I was like, that is so involved.
Oh, they had a budget. They had a budget. But I'm going to tell you right now, they made sure there wasn't nowhere stinky. And I appreciated every bathroom. We went to some concert and saw a young man by the name of Pink Pablo. I don't know who he is, but he's on a Rolling Stone list, and congratulations. We didn't get to see Peso Pluma, but Poopery had a whole display set up in a bathroom. It was gorgeous. I mean, the marketing, truly, because I already believe in their products. I keep it in my purse as someone who travels because I'm going to poop because I'm a grown adult. And honestly, I'm like, thank you for the work they're doing in the community. Thank you for trying to help poopery, because some people have no shame. Because before, you just have to carry just mattress in your purse.
Mm-hmm. I volunteer at my kid's school one day a week. And I went into one of the perks that I've decided that I'm entitled to use the bathroom in the teacher's lounge, which as a kid I was always like, what goes on in the teacher's lounge? But anyway, I walked in the other day and someone had destroyed it, and I had that debate that I always have of, like, if I walk out and there's someone waiting, do I say it wasn't me?
Yes.
You would?
Not only do you say it's not you, you go, the bathroom was messed up by the previous person, let me go find somebody.
Oh, that's good.
So then they know it's not you.
Yeah.
Because then you walk out, you're like, oh shit. Literally. you know there's a janitor around. It's a school. It's not like you're like at a Target or something. You got to beg some teenager to clean a bathroom.
Right.
This is a public school. There's a Mr. Johnson somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Abbott Elementary reference. So, yes, I know there's someone here who will come and take care of this.
Right.
So I'd be like, hey, excuse me. Find another bathroom. This one is, you know, World War III popped off in this bathroom. Let's go find somebody.
That's smart. Hello, friends. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
I love it. Thank you so much. I have a copy on my computer, but I love the cover. I love the colors.
Thank you.
All of it.
The cover was inspired by old school glamour shots.
Nice. Old school glamour shots.
Like the glamour shot pictures that the people used to do like in the 80s and 90s?
Yes, like going to the mall to like a place called Glamour Shots. Did you ever actually do that?
No, I did the other pictures where like you could get like 25 wallets. Like it felt like you get like 100 wallet size pictures for like $20. So I did those with my brother, but everybody did those.
So how was the process of writing it?
Writing a book is hard and I don't recommend it. And it's very difficult and I was tricked. So
Tell me more.
My manager called me one day and said, what if you wrote a book? And I was like, that sounds very difficult. And he was like, well, what if you did it? And I was like, I don't know about that. He's like, well, let's just take a meeting. Let's take a meeting. And then we took one meeting and then turned into three more meetings. And then there was another meeting. And then he called me back. He was like, congratulations, you sold a book. And then I was like, oh, damn, I got to write a book. But yeah, it's a long process. You see how thick that book is. I had to put words on all them pages. But I did have help, and the first thing I did was, once I found out I had to do this, I called Michelle Buteau.
Oh, yeah.
And was like, how do I do this? Because, you know, she wrote her book, Survival of the Thickest, that is now her, like, award-winning show. She believe she won an NAACP award last weekend. And I was like, Michelana, how do I do this? And she said, start with stories that are too long to tell on stage. So like comedic stories that are too long to tell on stage, start with that. And then from there, it's like, okay, well, then let me fill in, like, because I know people are going to want to know about like Daily Show and people want to know about like how I grew up and stuff. So I like funny stories from like growing up and, you know, what it was like to be a Daily Show, because the chapter in the book about Daily Show is called I'm Not a Writer on the Daily Show. Because I'm not a writer on The Daily Show. None of the correspondents are writers on The Daily Show. None of the correspondents are writers on The Daily Show. Regardless,
Tony, get that through your goddamn thick head.
It's just hard.
Regardless of what any comic will tell you, we are not writers on The Daily Show. So,
is that something that I know that that's something that white men in clubs will come up to you and say, you're a writer on The Daily Show. Get me. Can't you introduce me to Trevor Noah?
That's everybody.
Everybody.
Every comedian, every human person, club owners asking me to give me his number. Just,
but are comics out there saying that they are writers on The Daily Show?
No.
No. Okay. So this is just something that people want to believe.
People just want to believe it. Oh, I know. You're so busy. You're a writer on the show. I was like, I'm not a writer on the show, because I would have never applied for that job. I don't want to be in a writer's room. I'm a performer. Mm-hmm. The only writer's room I want to be in is a writer's room for my own show. I don't want to be in a writer's room for other people to say words to be in front of a camera I want to be in front of. It's kind of crazy. So, no. But yeah, so I talked about like stories from childhood, stories from dating, different jobs that I've had, and just, I think though I wanted it to sound like I was talking directly to the person. Mm-hmm. And I actually saw, like, I made the mistake of looking at like early reviews, because you're not supposed to look at reviews. But it was funny because some lady, like, she gave the book, like, 3 stars because she was like, well, it just felt like she was talking directly to me. And I was like,
that seems like a good thing.
That's what I thought. That's also what I was trying to do. And then this other lady gave the book, like, she goes, I gave the book 5 stars. I wish I could give it more because it just felt like that she was talking directly to me. And I was like, so I did what I did what I wanted. I wanted to sound like, hey, girl. Like, I wanted to sound like I was talking directly to you. Some people like that. Some people don't. But I achieved what I wanted to achieve. I wanted to be like, okay, girl, let me tell you what happened. And that's what I wanted to sound like. So some people just don't like that. But for the most part, the reviews have been good. My friends are like, how many books did you sell? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't tell you. I did learn something very interesting, though.
Hmm. I like interesting things.
So you know when a book will be like, bestseller, not New York Times bestseller, but I'll say bestseller.
Yeah.
Like best-selling cookbook, best-selling this. Being a bestseller is not, there's not a specific number of books you have to sell. What it is like, so say you come out with a cookbook, right? And then say like your book and like 7 other cookbooks come out at the same time. So for a 3-month period, if your cookbook sells more than the other cookbooks, you are the best-selling cookbook. Oh. But you could have sold 10,000 copies.
Right.
But you still sold more than them.
Got it.
So you're considered a bestseller.
That's so interesting.
You sold more than the other ones.
Your peers. So like, who are they comparing your book to? Do you know?
I guess it'd be memoirs, but I wanted to call the book Don't Call It a Memoir, I'm Only 39. And everyone laughs when I say that. But the publisher was like, well, let's not tell people what it's not. I was like, but it's hilarious.
That's funny.
And it's funny. But so.
And also, Don't Call It a Memoir, I'm Only 39. If I see that, I'm thinking, this is a memoir.
Yeah.
You still know it's a. It was your publisher?
It is Anscape.
No. I said it was your publisher, though. Who
it was
said
the publisher was like,
okay.
Because they were like.
They have all rules. They have lots of rules.
They have lots
titles.
Of rules. And so I was speaking out of turn. You can look in the back of the book and tell it was put out by Anscape. But it was somebody at. Also, there's a lot of people you have to talk to when you put a book out. Mm-hmm. And you don't know who everybody is. Because you get on the call and it's just a bunch of ladies. Just a bunch of ladies on a Zoom. And you're like, well, who's the main lady? And you're like, well, it depends on what we're doing. I was like, ugh. I don't know if we need me on every one of these calls. Because I don't know who all these ladies are. But yeah, it's a bunch of ladies.
And did you end up having to be on every one of those calls?
It depended. Well, sometimes I couldn't be. Because sometimes I'm like, I had to be on The Daily Show.
Right.
Or I had to go record for the cartoon. Or I was on the road. Or I was in an interview. So it's like, there are just other things that I was doing while I was doing this.
Was there a certain chapter that was the most difficult to write?
The dating chapter.
How come?
Because I had to... Because it made me sad. Because I was reflecting back on things that I did. I was trying not to be mad at myself for things that I did when I was like 25 or 27. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it didn't make sense to be mad at, one, the past. But also it was like, I was making the best decisions that I could based on the information that I had when I was 25. Because mm-hmm. like, I didn't think by the time I was 40, I'd be single, like very single and nowhere close to being married or having kids, because that's what I want. But I also had to have, like, then I started going to therapy and I had to realize, like, I really had a candid conversation with my homeboy one day and I was like, I realized anybody that I would have married before I started going to therapy, I'd be divorced right now. I'd have kids, but I still wouldn't have a husband, I just have children.
Right.
So there's that. And that was the hardest part, because I was just looking back on my life like, damn, did these things happen? Or you just realize all the times, like, I hadn't been, like, nice to myself, or, like, because I'm still working on that. But it was, like, just being, just really just having to just forgive myself for things that, they weren't necessarily, like, bad, just decisions that I had made when I was younger.
Mm.
And being, and giving myself the grace to go, I can't be mad at her. Because for every bad decision that she made for me to be where I am, there's so many good decisions that she made for me to be where I am. So I can't be mad and you see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. just like, I can't be mad at her.
Right.
Because it's like, my personal life isn't where I wanted to be, but my professional life is in a place I never expected it to be, but I still listened. So that's what I had to figure out, was to, like, just, you can't be, it has to be, it's not that it's all or nothing. It's like, I have to give grace on both sides.
Right. Are you talking about the stuff, like, you mentioned that you oftentimes were coming from a place of scarcity?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the kind of stuff you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. And just realizing that it was just because of a place of scarcity, because it was something that was imposed upon me. And then, like...
Can you say more about that in case someone's listening and, like, what are you talking
about? So coming from a place of scarcity, as in, like, you're told that because of, you know, because of how I look and because of just how I was treated growing up. Because I always knew I was pretty, but everybody else didn't always participate. So... it was, you know, being an object of affection, but not wanting everybody to know that someone that they liked me. So there's the, like, just men wanting me to be a secret, stuff like that. So, which was confusing, because I'd see, like, other bigger girls and be like, well, everybody's all in this bitch's face. Why not? Why not me?
Yeah.
And, but I also had to look at the caliber of people I was looking, like, mm-hmm. this is. It's like, so yeah, it just would never understood, like, what was the issue. And so coming from a place of scarcity, it was just like, well, since there wasn't always men talking to me. I just have to deal with whoever is here because I don't know if anyone else is coming. And so that was the idea of the scarcity of it.
Yeah.
But I also dedicated the book to myself. So my self-esteem ain't that low.
I had a therapist. I was in, I related to a lot of it. I made terrible decisions with men for so long. And I remember my first therapist saying to me, I'm wondering why you think this is all you deserve. And I was thinking about that afterwards and I was journaling, and I'm not like someone who regularly journals, but at this time I was, and I wrote, 'cause it's all I've ever had. Like, I've never, at that point, like, I'd never been with someone who had treated me any different than this asshole. So
right.
Maybe, well, he wasn't really even an asshole. He just was someone who didn't want what I wanted.
Well, yeah, but I'd been treated various ways, because I hadn't been treated as bad as a lot of my friends have been treated, but I hadn't, it still wasn't great.
Right.
So it was more like I knew I would deserve more, but I was just putting up with less because I didn't know how to get more.
Yeah.
Because it felt like I was trying to, I'm trying to get to the moon, but all I have is toothpicks and Elmer's glue. But I know I should be, I know I should be on the moon. But all I've been given is a Dixie cup and string.
Right.
And so how do you get to the moon with these resources? And so that's how I've always felt. And so I had to get out of that mindset, because like when I started, because when I eventually did start going to therapy, because my manager was like, please. Like, the same manager that tricked me is the same manager that got me to go to therapy. And so Red Steigerman's amazing. But it was so much as I just had a real passive mindset. Like, if a no is a no, but I'll put up with nonsense just so I'm not by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what it was for a long time. I'm just like, well, he's here. And he's texting. But sometimes I'm just like, no. Because, like, if you're just around and be around, fine. But mistreatment, I don't do that. Like, talking to me crazy, oh, that'll get you gone faster than anything. You get one time to talk to me crazy and I'm gone.
There, the guy that you were with for almost a decade, which one was that?
The mechanic.
And is he the one who came to your show with his wife, and that was like a cathartic moment for you?
Yes.
Okay.
But this is, so I knew him from, people go, okay, people, I'm sorry, somebody just went, his wife? Okay, listen. I dealt with that man from 2007 to 2015, so all of my 20s. And it wasn't until, and he would refuse to come see me do stand-up. I don't know why, he just would. And he came to see me in a play one time, but it was while I was dating someone else. And he recently, it was last year, probably, came to see Trevor at the Fox Theater. And he didn't know I was on the show. Here's the thing. I was talking to him afterwards because he texted me. Because this is the thing. His number is not saved in my phone. His number has not been saved in my phone since Obama. My number is not saved in his phone. But we know each other's phone numbers.
Right.
And so he texted me after the first show. And I was like, what the hell? And my mother was like, who is it? The mechanic? She's like, ugh. I was like, I'll be right back. To this day, no. And so I go and I find him. And I start talking to him. His wife is standing there. And basically, and I know it was a very interesting conversation in the car, because he was like, well, he bought the tickets because he figured I'd be at the show.
Oh.
He's like, well, I got the tickets because I figured how you'd be on the show considering how close you and Trevor are. The tickets went on sale in November. The show was in January. I didn't know I was going to be on that show till 2 days before.
Yeah, he took a real gamble here.
Sure did. Sure did. But I was going to be in Atlanta that weekend anyway because I was doing a photo shoot, because me and comedian Lace Larrabee, we started a lip gloss line called Giggle Gloss.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you. And so it's, I'm sorry, I should brought you some Giggle Gloss. But it's, we created this line as for merch to sell on the road and online. And so it's six different colors and they all have like comedic names. I can actually show you. Yeah, Giggle Gloss.
Oh, how cool.
And so Lace has her three colors, Purse Vodka, Lafia Majora, and I'll Show You Crazy. And then my colors are No More Broke Dick, My Ministry, Future Wife, My Manifestation, and Amos Lady, which is what these men used to holler at the kid in Atlanta. So.
Amos Lady?
Amos Lady.
What does that mean?
They're being polite. And they're just trying to talk to you, but they don't know your name. So it's like, instead of them trying to be like, because in New York, they just go, yo, ma, and they scream at you like savages. In the South, they'll go, hey, Miss Lady, mm-hmm. as in they're trying to be polite to you. Then they're still trying to grab your hand, but it's, hey, Miss Lady, m'lady. Well, it's pronounced, hey, m'lady, mm-hmm. but I don't know how to spell that. So it's, hey, Miss Lady, hey, Miss Lady, hey, Miss Lady, hey, Miss Lady, hey, Miss Lady. And that's what they say when they're trying to talk to you. So those are the colors. And so we picked six colors and... Lace is a white lady, and so we picked colors that look good on me and her. And so I'm down there doing a shoot for that, and so they let me know that I'm going to be on the show. And it was funny because when I came out, I was like, because the last time I was, because that's the second time I'd opened for Trevor in Atlanta. And so the first time I was like, wouldn't it be crazy if that man was here? Oh, well, and the second time I did it, I opened for Trevor. I was like, wouldn't it be crazy if that man was here? And that time he was there. And so he hit me up and it was cathartic because it's like sometimes you just have a wound for so long that you just don't, it heals or whatever you think it's done. But like afterwards, it was like, I didn't think that it would affect me the way that it did.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just like, I just wanted you to be supportive of me. But then I tell that other story in the book about how he was dating a girl who was also an actor.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't go see her either. And so I met her on a movie, on a movie set for the movie lottery ticket. And so talking to her and finding out that, oh, he wouldn't go see her either. And I was like, oh, this isn't me. This is him. Okay. So meeting her kind of helped me like, okay, it isn't that I'm lacking or anything, or he's just an asshole. In that aspect. And it's just like, to find out that it wasn't, it was his personality thing and not there being any type of defect in me.
Mm-hmm.
But then also just being like, because me and him went back and forth from when I was 22, 23, so I was like 31.
Mm-hmm.
But he lived down the street. And that was it. He lived down the street and we worked near each other and we lived near each other. So it was just like, well, we kind of was just like, it's you or nothing. But there would be points where he was just like, you know, I don't want to be in a relationship with you, but I want you to be with anybody else. And I was like, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't mind if you were in a relationship with anybody else.
You wouldn't?
Well, at the time, I would have, it would have bothered me. But like, the thing is, he at one point started dating someone else, so he stopped talking to me. And then, but I tell a story in the book about how I dated his best friend and the whole thing.
The dummy?
Yeah, the dummy. But then the girl that I met at the movie shoot, who I called makeup in the book, she dated the dummy first and then dated the mechanic. The mechanic dated me. And then I dated the dummy and then started dating the mechanic again or hanging out with. But the dummy is such a moron that he
Yeah. Share the breakfast story.
Yes. So the this is one of those stories that was too long to tell on stage.
Uh-huh.
And so basically, so the dummy is the mechanic's best friend. And the dummy wins a date with me in a poker game.
And the dummy is very attractive, right?
Dummy's gorgeous, but he's dumb as a box of rocks. The mechanic is not as attractive as the dummy, but there is something about him. Because when I was talking to makeup about him, we were both like, he's not as hot as the dummy. He's not. But there's something about him, mm-hmm. right? He's not even tall. He's not. We would hug him. I would hug him and our ears would touch. And I'm 5'4". So he's a short man, but he was...
Had something.
Had something. I think it was the ability to fix a car. But it was like, it was... You know, nice to talk to. He was funny. He was smart.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, I put myself in the pot of the poker game. The dummy wins a date with me. Mind you, the poker game, the mechanic is also playing it, is at the mechanic's house. But the mechanic told me he didn't want nothing from me. So I'm like, mm-hmm. all right, we hanging. You don't want to make it real clear. You just want us to be cool. So I'm cool. I'm in this pot. dummy wins a date with me. I tell the dummy, hey, I'm not going to go on a date with you unless old boy says it's okay. The dummy comes back to me and says it was okay.
Did that hurt?
It bothered me.
Yeah.
But it made sense. But I found out later on that the way the dummy asked, he didn't fully ask and I didn't get the whole truth.
Mm.
So the dummy goes up to him and I was talking, he asked the mechanic, what's up with you and Dulce? And then the mechanic goes, well, I guess nothing. And that's how he came back to me and said, he says it's cool. But that's not what you asked.
Right. But him saying, well, I guess nothing was in response to you having put yourself in the right pot for the poker game.
Right. And I think this was like the day before his birthday.
Yeah.
Whatever. So the dummy's like, all right. I said, all right, fine. Let's go on a date. We go on a date. We hang out. Beautiful. Whatever. He mid-date stops the date to sell weed to somebody. And I was like, making choices. And mind you, he used to live with the mechanic because the mechanic had a house. When I met him, he had a house and two cars. He was 25. He owned a house and two cars. And by the rules, you trap this man. You trap this man. Right. You're 20. He's 25 with a house and two cars. You trap him.
Yeah.
The dummy was changing apartments every year. So he didn't get whatever. So basically the first time I spend the night, he makes breakfast the next morning and I wake up to him tapping a fork on the sink. And I was like, what is happening? And something tells me, do not get up. Do not ask him anything. I was like, I have to know what this is. Because I'm sitting there and I keep hearing ting, 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 ting. I was like, what the hell is he doing? I was like, well, maybe he got eggshells. He's making eggs. Maybe there's shells in it. Ting, 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 ting. I was like, did he just throw the eggs in the bowl and then fish the shell? What kind of reverse game is this? And I'm wondering, ting, 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 ting. And I was like, well, what the hell is he doing? Is he making? How many eggs is he making? Ting, 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 ting. I'm like, all right. And I go, babe. He's like, yeah. I was like, what you doing? Mind you, something told me to sit down and be quiet and don't ask him anything. And I was like, because I was like, well, when did ting? And I kept hearing ting, 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 ting. Fork on a metal sink. Fork on a metal sink. I finally get up. I'm like, hey, man. What's going on? What you doing? He's like, oh, I'm making you breakfast. I was like, oh, my. And mind you, I'm like 23. A man make breakfast for me before, right? And I was like, really? I said, well, what's on? What's up with all the tapping, dog? What you doing? What you tapping on the sink for? I was like, did you get like a shell in the egg and you can't fish it out? He's like, no, I'm trying to get the sperm out. I said, how'd it get in there? How do you make eggs? So, you know, when you crack an egg open, there's a yolk. There's a white.
Yeah.
And then there's that little ball of white stuff, the protein.
Mm-hmm.
His mother told him that, mind you, he is mixed. His white mother told him, just because I'm not trying to let a black woman take the heat for this one. His Caucasian mother told him that little ball of protein, that's like the little white ball inside the egg, was chicken sperm. And I was like, hey, you know everything works the same, right? He said, what? I said, if sperm gets in an egg, it don't hang out. It makes a new creature. Like, you know, even plants do. Like, that's what pollen is.
Right.
It's just plant sex. So if sperm, whether like how fish fertilize.
Yeah.
You got the female fish, they lay the eggs. The male fish that come by, spawn. Just a sperm cloud. Yes, they would get more fish. Sperm don't just hang out in eggs. It's new chickens. Eggs are unfertilized. It's ovulations. It's just a chicken having her. It's like it's every day. It's new chick. And I was like, okay. I'm gonna go sit down. and I'm gonna let you finish making. Let me take your breakfast. Mind you, this is the best sex of my life.
Mm-hmm.
For the long time, he was in the top three. It looked like somebody took me, made a mold, got him, and vice versa. We couldn't hold a conversation. Like, we couldn't start a movie because it was just like, a movie would start and be like, so, right. And we'd have the sexy time. And it was that, but it was also like, dummy. Because I remember going to work the next day and telling my boss what happened. And I'm just sitting there like surrounded by like 40-year-old black women. And they're looking at me like, what are you doing? I didn't know. I didn't know. And my homegirl knew him. And she's the one that coined the phrase, the dummy. And so she was like, he said what? I said, girl, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. She said, always wear a condom. That's what you have to do. God forbid he finds out how sperm and egg really works.
Did he believe you when you educated him?
No. Because his mother told him this.
Right.
As if your mother could never be. There's so many things that we believe just because our mother told us that. Mm-hmm. But I told my boss this, and she went to like foodnetwork.com, printed out the show. I told her about this, and she said, hold on. She went to foodnetwork.com, printed out the anatomy of an egg, like a chicken egg. Mm-hmm. And she handed me this printout of all and labeled all the areas of an egg and said exactly what that little thing was. And then she said, give this to him the next time you see him and then never talk to him again. And I was like, I hear you. And then the next time I saw him, we had sex. What I'm saying is,
Why would you give him a handout and not have sex when you could have sex and not give him a handout?
Listen, he was walking sex, but he quit talking to me like a few months. And maybe we dated for like four months. And then he started talking to kind of like just faded to black, just gone. And then me and the mechanic started talking again. That's when I found out how the conversation really went. But what was more crazy about it is that I remember being at the dummy's house and him telling me about makeup and basically letting me know that
makeup being the woman that you later met on a film set that it turns out you guys had both dated the same guys.
We dated three of the same guys.
Yeah. How small is Atlanta?
I didn't know it was that small. Because like me and her having like an actor dude that we hooked up with in common, that made sense. A mechanic and his homeboy, that didn't make no sense. And then I kept talking to her because she kept looking familiar to me. She went to my high school.
Oh, right.
For a year. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I kept looking at this girl like, what the fuck? So like my birthday is July 4th. Her birthday was July 14th. And I was like, I got to murder this girl. But I can tell you. And then the play that I was in that the mechanic actually came to see, she'd auditioned for the same part and didn't get it. Mm. Yeah. She was wild. Because she had hit me up. And she's like, oh, I invited him to come. And I was like, what is wrong with you? Why would you do that? The hell are you talking about? If he wouldn't come see you in a play, he wouldn't come see me in a play, why would he go with you to see me? What are you talking about? And so I was like, what is wrong with you? Why would you invite him? And she's just like, oh, you're fine. And so I called, and she was supposed to be coming to see the show that night. So I called the theater and I was like, she no longer.
I actually felt rage toward her when she was like, calm down, you're fine. Yeah. Or whatever she said.
Yeah. And so I called the theater and was just like, she no longer has a comp ticket. She didn't have one. But she came in so late that she was kind of just like, comp ticket. And they let her in. And then she had on a lemon, like a bright, like a chartreuse bright green sweater on. And there was maybe like 12 people at the show that night. And I could see her the entire time. And then after the show was over, she's like, oh, yeah, the mechanic came, but he had to leave early. And I was like, no, we didn't. Bitch, I saw you the whole time. What are you talking about? Now, before the show, I was on the way down there. I called him and was like, you know you coming with that girl was not my idea. He was like, yeah, I know. She's messy like that. I know it wasn't you.
Was she like, just trying to create drama?
Yeah. Because when I met her, I was like, actually, let's take a picture. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she's like, oh, we should send it to him. And I was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you can send it to him or I can post it on Facebook. And I was like, oh, okay, I see what kind of bitch you are. All right. Yeah, she's wild. But she's somewhere doing something. I don't even remember the whole name.
And what was the other name you were considering calling her in the book?
I don't remember.
Forehead.
Ah, yes. Yeah, that girl had a lot of forehead. Here's the thing about writing a book. You don't remember all the parts of it. Also, there's so many stories in it that I'm just like, yeah, I was going to call that girl Forehead because, man, her bangs were working hard. Her bangs were doing the Lord's work because that girl had a 5'6" head. 4 is generous.
You said that your manager is the one who told you to get into therapy?
Yes. So I was in London shooting a TV show and just generally sad. And so he was like, you should go to therapy. I'm like, I'm all right. And just because I'm black and Southern and black, and if Jesus or your mama can't fix it, it's not getting fixed. And so, mind you, every black person should be in therapy, especially American black people. And so anyone from the diaspora should be in therapy. And so I was talking to him one day, and I was like, hey, man, I know you're tired of me. He's like, nope. I said, I know you're tired of telling me to go to therapy. And he's like, okay. I'm not tired of telling you to go to therapy. He said, I'll always tell you to go to therapy. I'm tired of you not going.
Mm.
And I was like, all right, find me a therapist, but she better be black. I gotta go. And then I got off the phone. And then he found me a therapist, and I was with her for almost a year, and then I moved here. And then I found out that your doctor is only licensed to practice in a certain state. And if you are doing telehealth,
mm-hmm.
you have to be physically in that state.
Oh.
So, like, my nutritionist is here. And so when they call me, like, when I have an appointment, which reminds me of another appointment. When I have my nutritionist appointment, because it's telehealth, they'll go, before they link me to her, they'll go, are you in the state of California?
Mm.
And if I say no, they're like, we can't do this
appointment. So, like, if you're traveling for work, you can't. I didn't know that.
Mm-mm. Because you have to be. Because I guess it's wherever the patient is located
mm-hmm.
and not where the doctor is located.
So is that like in order for insurance to cover it, or like it's not legal otherwise?
I don't know. All I know is my therapist was like, hey, I can't fully therapize, which is actually a real word. She said I can do like coaching. And then after mm-hmm. a while, she was like, you need to go to a real therapist. And then she gave me the name of some lady, and I wasn't particularly fond of her, so now I have to find a new therapist. But my friends said they've noticed a difference.
So your manager said this, though, in response to your feeling sad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just generally depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also because just, like, I hated New York. And I was just general melancholy. So, but yeah, I hated New York. And I never wanted to live there. But, you know, like I said in my half hour, you know, I was forced to move to New York because of success. And sometimes you just have to move to a trash city that should be burned down. don't make that face, person who's listening. I would evacuate first. But if given if the Lord ever sees fit to bless me with a dragon, I'm burning that place to the ground.
So now why do you hate New York?
Listen, you got to watch my half hour. I do a full dissertation as to why that is. Somebody took two ice islands and strapped them together with bridges and invited the whole world. And so from the inception of the place, they were making apartments where you could sit on a toilet and open a stove. How is
my apartment in Brooklyn? The tiny bathroom was off the kitchen. This is I would mm-hmm. blow dry my hair in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Which is why? Gross. Because there wasn't room for me to stand in the bathroom. Why? What?
Why did they do that? That didn't have to happen.
Yeah, you're right.
They did not have to build that.
You're right.
They didn't have to do any of it.
Yeah.
New York has 8.5 million people. The city is only 300 square miles, which is 27,000 people per mile, which is 5.5 people per foot. For every foot of space in New York, there's 5 people in it. So you can't go out, so you have to go up.
Yeah.
Why? Because when you're in, just get a little bit outside the city. There's no reason. I lived in Queens. My apartment was big. So they didn't have to do that. They mm-hmm. chose to do that. People are like, oh, it's the greatest city on earth. How? How?
I am a fan of New York, but hearing you, and I saw a clip, hearing you talk about it, I was like, God, all the points you're making are right.
Exactly right. I was on a show. People were like, oh, I was like, what do you own? You be 50 years old and own nothing. You could work your entire life and own nothing.
You're right. It is like a cult. I was in the cult. I think I still am.
If you buy a condo, you don't own your ceiling and you don't own your floor. You don't own your ceiling or your floor. You don't own your ceiling or your floor.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Unless you're on the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
Then you own your ceiling, but you still don't own your floor. You own the walls inside the apartment. You don't own the plumbing. You own nothing. You maybe own the appliances. You could live your entire life and have nothing to your name. If you're not in a co-op, you could be rent controlled. You live your entire life, and there's not to say that there's no, not to have physical things doesn't mean you didn't acquire things in life, but to be a grown adult and still paying into someone else's dream.
Right.
For what? You're not building equity. You're not raising, you're not, what are you adding to your life?
So did you, how long were you in New York?
I moved there September of 2017 and I moved back here because I lived here first.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in LA first and then I moved back to LA in May of 2023.
Oh, so 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Did you dislike it the entire time?
The entire time. I didn't even want to audition for Daily Show.
Yeah. When you mentioned that you were tricked into writing the book, yeah. I was thinking that feels like, is that a theme in your career?
My manager tricking me? No. But also, yes.
Well, because you seemed reluctant to audition for the Daily Show.
Yeah, because I didn't want to live in New York. That was the main reason. People were like, I can't believe. I'm like, why the fuck would I want to spend my good over years in this place?
Mm-hmm.
So no, I didn't want it. But also it was like, stand up was also something I was reluctant to get into because I'm a trained actor. I have a theater degree. And stand up, you're on stage. You're not playing a character and you're not saying someone else's words. So stand up scared me.
Mm-hmm.
I did improv for 2 years before that. And I understand that because I'm still on stage presenting a character. It was my idea, but it was still a collaborative work.
Right.
Stand up, you're all by yourself. And so that's what's scaring me about stand-up. But sometimes people see talent in you that you can't see in yourself. And also every black child will tell you, if your mother has a dream about something, you got to go with it. So yeah, so between Big Kenny telling me to be in a stand-up class and really being after me for 2 years, and then my mom having a dream that the whole world was laughing at me, that's why I took a stand-up class. That's why I got into stand-up, because other people pushed me into it. Mm-hmm. But again, it's like you don't know what your life is going, because I never thought I would be in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And so like someone asked me, like, what would your 25-year-old self say to you? She'd be like, congratulations on your career. You're still not married. That's what 25-year-old me would say. My friend was like, that's not nice. And I said, you asked me what the bitch would say. That's what the bitch would say. Nothing is nice or not. You asked me what she would say. And that's what she would ask me. What happened? Girl, I don't know. I have no idea. But I'm trying not to be mad at you for what you're currently doing, because I never thought I would get to this point. But I also had a feeling I'd be like this.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, anybody that I would have been beforehand, I probably would have. I'm a different person.
Right.
Because I want different stuff now. And I need different things now. So it's as opposed to 23, you meet a man who owns a house and has two cars. Trap this dude, of course. Now it's, I'm the one with the house and two cars. But you can't trap me. You have to be able to afford my house. It's a different place. Because I've had to learn as I've gotten older that men will resent you if you're more successful than them.
Mm-hmm.
Men will resent you if you make more money than them. So all my male friends, all my comic friends, well, you're single because you want to be. First of all, I'm going to punch you in your throat. Second, what I do for a living can be intimidating to men. I'm on television. I get a lot of attention. I'm out and about. People recognize me. What have we taught men? That the world revolves around them. So if someone that they're with is getting more attention than them.
It takes a special guy, I think, to be able to handle that.
Absolutely. And also, it's, you can't be intimidated by what I do. Also, it can't be bothered by the fact that I'm in a male-dominated industry, which means I'm around a lot of men a lot of the time. And a lot of guys are like, well, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't, what do you?
Right, what are you gonna
do? Also, if I was an engineer or a doctor, it'd be the same thing. So what do you think is going to happen? Go
right.
Date a teacher. Most of them are women. What are you talking about? But also, it's like, most of these dudes ain't trying to sleep with me. So you're really okay. But that's the thing where I'm just like, you have to be, because I've done it. It's one, I've had guys go to me, well, I'm probably funnier than most of your friends. I'm like, my friends have specials. So
now, why do you think they say that?
Because we've told men that they're funny. I've seen men in audiences be aggressive toward the comic that's on stage, male or female. I had a guy one time when I was first starting out, he was like, well, I can, he's like, and he was just parroting what I was saying. I said, hey man, why you keep repeating me? I'm just working. Well, I can do what you do. Oh, really? He's like, yeah. I said, okay, come on. Mind you, I'm at a bar. This is basically like an open mic, like a book show. And I looked at the lady, because he was interrupting everybody. And I looked at the lady who show it was. I was like, you buying? She was like, mm-mm. So I invited him on stage. I let him sit down. I gave him the microphone. I said, go. Go. You can do what I do. Go. He was like, oh, well, you're not going to say nothing? No. This ain't Laurel and Hardy. Sir, this is not a duo. You got to do this by yourself. You sat up and was repeating everything that I said. So now you said you could do this? Sir, go. Well, you're not doing... No. Come on. Here. And I just stood there. And he said nothing. And then he got up. And he did not go back to his seat. He left. And this is like Georgia in like the summer or like the spring. So bless you. All the windows were open. And so we all saw him leave, get in his car, turn his sound system on, and drive out of the parking lot. And I was like, oh, I guess he couldn't do it. And so I finished my set. And afterward, this lady came up to me and put $20 in my hand. It was just like, I just wanted to give you some money for just dealing with that situation. So it's stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like someone, we have convinced men that they're supposed to be funny. And we've convinced them that they're funnier than women. And if you as a woman have the audacity to go up against something that society has told them that they are, then it's like, well, what are you, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. So it's either they're nervous you're going to talk about them on stage, or it's even more weird is that you're not going to talk about them on stage.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, oh, I hope you don't use this. I don't know if you don't talk about this on stage. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You thought you did something interesting. I am so, I'm sorry. Did I make you believe that this is something that I would want to repeat to people? I'm so sorry that you thought that this was something somebody else would care about later on. That's my fault. I'm sorry to make you think that you were interested in like that. I apologize for the inconvenience, sir.
So, Daily Show and stand up and the book, things that other people thought you could do, but that you were reluctant to do. Did you enjoy them? Like, did you get to a point where you, like, do you enjoy stand-up?
Oh, I love stand-up. The thing about stand-up is that you can't do three plays in a night unless you're in a one-act competition or something. But, like, stand-up is stand-up. The goal of my life was to make a living as a performer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about in the book, like, it's stories of dating, destiny, and day jobs. And I had a lot of day jobs. I speak Spanish. I did bilingual customer service for most of my life. So the goal was to be a performer, whether it was singing or acting or then stand-up came along. And stand-up has given me a lot of opportunities that if I hadn't started doing stand-up, I might still be in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Or something could have changed or whatever. But sometimes it's like something just comes up and goes, hey, let's go. Come on. So the goal of my life was just to make a living as a performer, make a living as a performer. And so I love stand-up, but the thing about stand-up is that stand-up never gets easier.
Mm-hmm.
As in, there are certain comics that work in certain rooms and they write their 15 minutes and they've been doing that same 15 minutes since the first Obama administration. And everyone's fine with it. And there's other comics who work in other rooms and it's, you have to have new material all the time. And now with social media, you have to have new material all the time. So, and social media has only made stand-up harder just because the internet is a bottomless pit.
Yeah.
And it has to be filled constantly with content. So, it's you get more proficient at it. And sometimes it's easier to, I have a much easier time coming up with material now than I did when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
But this year will make 15 years that I've been doing it. But it didn't feel like that long.
And Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Also, 2017 feels like 2 years ago. So
it does. And then with The Daily Show, you ended up staying longer than you intended, right?
Yes, because of the pandemic.
What was that experience like? But now you're still a contributor, is that right?
Mm-hmm. I'm a contributor on the show, so I go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I was going to leave in 2020. And then my contract came up in March of 2020. And I don't know if you know what happened in March of 2020.
I can't remember.
The world went into a panty dropper, a Pandora, a Pan Dulce, a Popeyes, a Panda Express. And so my manager was like, listen, there are no jobs. There are no jobs. There are no jobs. And so I had to learn a lot about sound. Like The Great North, the cartoon that I'm on, half of the first season, all of the second season, all of the third season, I believe in most of the fourth season, was filmed from home.
Mm.
They sent me sound equipment. The show had just gotten, we had just started recording in the end of 2019.
Are you in person now, though, with the show?
Mm-hmm, I was in person. Yeah. I recorded before I came here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about, like, because I mean, the thing is, like, with the, I loved working from home just because the studio was in Manhattan and sometimes you don't have a lot of lines. And I lived in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, sometimes it was like, we got 5 lines. So I was about to be in traffic for 45 minutes to an hour to work for 10 minutes.
Right.
So I was very happy when we started work. I was like, oh, let me just, hang on, wolf. And then I would leave. And so I would prefer to go around the corner in my apartment. Then, yes, I said around the corner in a New York apartment. Because when COVID hit, I got a new apartment. I had to because I was shooting The Daily Show in my living room and then recording the cartoon in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so my whole apartment became
a set.
And so I got a new apartment and it was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath because sometimes people would come like shoot remote. So then they'd be in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been COVID tested and all of that. I'm just like, I had them come one time in my house. I was like, oh, I don't like it.
Made you too uncomfortable.
Yeah. Also, I don't know these grown men in my bathroom. No. I don't know you. So another time I had to do a shoot from home. It was, here's your bathroom. Here's your shoot room. Set up in here. And then I still had my home.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people moved around in New York during the pandemic.
I moved out of New York.
A lot of people. Listen, at one point, it was like 200 people a day leaving Manhattan. And I was just like, if this city was so fucking great, 200 people a day wouldn't have left Manhattan. 200 people a day. All you saw was moving trucks all the time. There was one point, like all these Upper West Side, Upper East Side apartments. Upper West Side, I went to look at apartments. One building had 16 empty units.
Wow.
Building across the street had 13 empty units.
Wow.
I think the last time they had that many was when the building was built.
Yeah.
And so, but there was also like, as soon as COVID's over, just prices going back up. So my friend moved 3 times during COVID because the prices kept kicking back up. Mm-hmm. He was like, all right, let me go ahead and go back to Queens. I was in Chelsea and prices changed. Well, let me go on back to Queens. I'm like, yeah, going back to Queens. But yeah, so it was just like me just shooting the apartment from home. I'm shooting the show from home. But it was like, I had to stay. And every time I got, it was like, well, I'm going to leave. And then something else would happen. And then I'm like, I'm going to leave. And then something else would happen. It's just like, and then the strike happened. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on? But it was like, people were like, because we couldn't strike during the pandemic, because that would have screwed everybody up. So yeah, the goal was always to come back here, but the goal was always to be here first. Because acting was always the goal. Living here was always the goal. So the fact that I was in New York was just like, what is this for? But again, it's doing the show gave me opportunities that I... Doing the show and doing stand-up gave me opportunity. Because like Sarah Tiana described me one time as like, doing comedy as an actor is like a backdoor into a club everyone's trying to get into.
Mm.
Because she said she'd be like in parties in LA and you were like, oh, what do you do? I'm an actor. And people were like, blah, 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 blah. Don't even care. But when she was like, you know, what do you know? I'm a comic and actor. Oh, you're a stand-up comedian. I meet you. And he's like, well, what is it? Tell me more about that. Ba-da-da-da. Also, stop asking comics about cancel culture because it's not real. It's not. It's not. Every comedian that got canceled, where is he at on tour?
Yeah. And making so much on their Patreon.
Yeah. So, listen, if y'all really want to cancel somebody, cancel some dude who's a night manager at Pep Boys who's harassing employees. Do that. Y'all just want to make poor, y'all want to make rich people poor. They're trying to help.
Did The Daily Show change your comedy?
No. The Daily Show does what The Daily Show does. I do what I do. I was never a political comedian. Mm-hmm. I talked about
that was part of the reason you were hesitant, right?
No, I didn't want to move to New York. I was not think I could not. New York was the only reason I didn't want to do that show. That's okay. It. Never. I went to New York 2004. I was doing summer stock at a theater in Quakertown, Pennsylvania called Main Street Theater. And we had some days off. I think it was for Memorial Day or for my birthday. My birthday is July 4th. No, it was for Memorial Day. And we went into the city and I got there and I was like, fuck this. Bleep me if you need to.
No, we don't bleep.
Great. Fuck this. I was in New York the first time. I was like, what the hell? Why? For who? For what? Fuck out of here. And I decided 2004, I was like 20. No. 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 Fuck no.
So many drops.
No. No, 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 no. And then for somebody to look at me in my American Christian face, not 13 years later, be like, do you want to live here? No, absolutely not. And for a minimum of 3 years, no. Jesus above, no. But I did, and I had to. But it's like how my mom retired, take care of my family, I bought a house out here. So it's like, and it's like it gave me so many other opportunities. Because I was performing to myself. I was like, I don't know if I would ever win the Emmys. And just being able there to be there and support Trevor and have him teach me so much and just to really see. Because here's the thing. Most TV shows, the writers are in one place and you are the actor, you get your lines, you come to set. When you're dealing with a show like that, because it's on every day, you are in an office. And so I remember when I started the show, I called my mom. And I was like, Mommy, you know how I worked hard to start working in an office? She's like, yeah. I said, I hard worked myself back into an office. Because I walked in and saw people's lunch in the fridge and all this other dumb shit, like yogurt and fucking bagels. And I was like, oh my God, I'm in another office. No. And then I was like, oh, I have my own office. I'm not sitting here answering phones. Because people don't know the correspondence, you're just on call. Mm-hmm. You go in your office and you're like, you're just waiting for someone to tell you to do something. So you pitch whatever you can, and then you got to go to this meeting, go to that meeting. But for the most part, it's like I've gone there. I remember one time I was on the show for 3 weeks.
You weren't on the show for 3 weeks, mm-mm. But you were just hanging out in the office waiting.
Just doing my job, just being there.
Yeah.
Because there's been other times where I'm just like, I was on the show. I did a desk piece, and then I was in a sketch, mm-hmm. And then I had to fill something in the field. And then they're just like, oh, we're doing Man on the Street. Get dressed. So, like, you'd just be sitting there, so you could be doing nothing. Or somebody goes, hey, we need you down in makeup in, like, 30 minutes. We got you shooting bop, 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 bop. We just need you to come out here and yell in America. Can you hop on, go down to wardrobe and throw some clothes on? So that's what it was. You're just on call.
Sounds stressful.
It was... There are times where, like, you just be asked to do something. You're like, I don't think this is going to work the way you think it's going to work. And then sometimes you'd have to go, I don't think this is going to work. But other times you're like, all right, I work here. Let's see what happens. And so sometimes you just have to make stuff that didn't work, work. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes some stuff did work. But there were specific writers that I worked with. And then...
You were a writer, right?
Absolutely. I worked with Josh Johnson and Devin Delaquanti for 98% of the stuff I did on the show. It's like, if you saw me on the show, Josh Johnson probably wrote it. And now Josh Johnson is correspondent on the show. I'm very happy for him. I'm very proud of him. And so it was, if it was not for Warwood Jr., I would not have made it. because there were times where just like, because no one trains you. This isn't like any other office job. They're like, okay, here's this and here's that. Mm-hmm. And this is how, and you just like, here's a meeting, sit, figure it out. And so that's what happened. Because some jobs you get on a certain level, you're just like, you just have to learn how to catch up. And so a lot of times I said in the book, it felt like the running of the bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And then just Roy would kind of just pull me out the crowd, sit me up on this fence and be like, all right, here's bop, 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 go. And then you just run. Because that's how it felt sometimes. It's just like you just didn't know what was going to happen. So you just have to jog as best you can. Don't get gorged by this bull. Mm. Sometimes you get gorged.
I feel like you hear people say, especially like in medicine or something, like, I love this job because it's always a new thing every day. It's never the same thing twice. You never know what to expect. And I personally, that would be hell for me. I kind of like to know.
Well, I can't do repetitive things, but I can never work in a factory.
Mm.
I couldn't put windshields in Buicks for 30 years. I would walk off the job. As much as anytime you're at a job, as much as it is different, it is the same thing.
Yeah.
As in, hey, you're going to be on the show today. So you sit with these writers, you write the thing. Now, what I did do to change a process for me is what we would do at first is that the writers would write your desk piece. Then you'd go to rehearsal. And then after rehearsal, you'd sit up and edit it to put it in your voice. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Because before we get to air, we've only done two edits on it, maybe. Mm-hmm. I said, it makes more sense for me to be at the beginning of the process because I'm at the beginning of the process. It's in my voice.
Yeah.
When we go to rehearsal. And Trevor was like, all right, do it that way. And so whenever I found out I was on the show, who is it? First of all, who's writing this? And then I meet with them. And so I write it with them. And then we go into rehearsal and then we're fine tuning. We're not overhauling.
Mm-hmm.
So it made the process a lot easier. And then I think some of the other correspondents started to do that. And they're like, oh, this is a much easier process. Because before, in all of the iterations of the show before Trevor, it was the correspondent was handed a piece of paper. And then you, as your character, as your person, you brought that script to life.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not specifically in your voice.
Right.
But I think that's why Trevor picked stand-up comics who had their own voice.
Mm.
But I was never a truly political comic. I talked about me, but me as a Black woman standing on stage talking about my life in general is seen as a political act.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sitting up going, so Congress, no, I never did that.
I saw a clip of you, I think it was from New York Magazine, a video where you're in your office and there's a sign, I want to say it's like a needlepoint that says, Nuck if you buck.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's from a song.
Oh.
Called Nuck if you buck.
Did you know this, Tony?
No.
Okay.
That sounds right. Y'all aren't the demographic.
Who's the artist?
Crime Mob.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite songs. Josh Johnson hates that song.
Why does he hate it?
Because he says it sounds like a GED being thrown down the hallway of a juvenile detention center. It's a fight song.
Now I need to hear it.
It's amazing.
You have a crafting area in your home?
I do.
But what kind of crafts do you do?
I do all kinds of crafts. I do... I make turbans. I work with clay. I work with UV resin. I have a Cricut.
What have you been doing lately?
Well, what I've been doing lately is I can show you. I make a present for my manager every year where I make him. So it's a very wild thing that I do. But basically, it's here, let's see. Like I made a hoodie for Trevor, which the name of it you cannot say. So like for my nephew, I made a doll of him, like a felt doll.
Aww,
he picked out
I
what he wanted
that.
To wear. And then I hand tied. He has like, you know, little curly hair. He's my nephew. And so like I hand tied the hair.
Nice.
So I said basically made like a little wig for it. And then so I hand sewed all of that, cut out a pattern.
That's really cute.
Thank you. And then for my manager... So it was inspired because I did a doll of my manager 1 year. His kids call it the dad doll. They absolutely love it. And then, so for instance, this is a line. So this is a very famous like Art Nouveau picture. And so I turned into a black woman, and that's a line from the song Nuck If You Buck.
Mm.
And so it's this gorgeous woman swirling.
Yeah.
And
she looks glam.
But it's a very like art, famous like Art Nouveau picture mm-hmm. of this woman who's like her hair is blowing in the wind, and then like her, she's on tiptoe and there's fabric swirling. And then there's, and then the, it's, I come in the club shaking my dreads, throwing these bows and busting these heads. So I take like these beautiful images or like stylized images. Like there's these two women from the 50s quoting a Cardi B song where it's like, broke boys don't deserve no pussy. I know that's right. So then it's got like Megan Thee Stallion lyrics and different things like that. So, or there's two young lovers, and I had to like change because like it's obviously like the images are from Cricut. So it was white mm-hmm. people. So I had to find images making me black people. And it's two young, like teenage kids just holding in each other, holding each other's hands and looking each other in the eyes. And the line says, if you break my heart, I will date your father, which is a song from a Ghanaian artist. So it's stuff like that, or just like, I used to do crafts at kids' birthday parties, mm-hmm. Scavenger hunts and stuff like that. So I've always been a crafter, and, you know, that was one of the rooms in my apartment. Like when I found this 3-bedroom that I really love, because I had a balcony, I had a wraparound balcony in my bedroom and then a terrace in the 3rd bedroom. I was like, this is my craft area slash guest room.
Mm-hmm.
But every apartment I've ever had, I've always had like a crafting area, because this is something I've been doing since I was a kid.
So cool. Wait, you said the hoodie that you made for Trevor Noah, we can't say.
No.
Does it have a word on it?
Yeah.
Can I even know what it is?
You know the word.
What does it start with?
An N.
Okay, that's what I figured.
That's why you can't say it.
Well, that's what I thought. That's what I assumed, but I just had to make sure.
It's a joke I had with him because he was talking about getting a private plane. He was talking to his old assistant about what plane he was going to get. And because he was leaving, he was after the show, he had to go down to do like a private show somewhere, and basically I just called him a sky N-word and then I put on a hoodie. And so I created, actually it's really nice, I created a whole logo for it and made him this hoodie as like a going away present because I'm insane. But let's see, yeah, I got a whole box, put it inside of it.
Oh my God, that looks so good. That's so funny. That looks so good.
So it's like a plane going through the clouds.
You designed that yourself, mm-hmm. like by hand? Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's a black on black hoodie. It's very classy, mm-hmm. but yeah, you can't see it.
And the box looks so good too.
Thank you. My mother was like, oh, you got to decorate the box. So I did like a red, and then like I used my Cricut to cut this image out. So on the end, it was a whole thing, and like our photographer from the show like took pictures of when he like opened the box up. But I said it to him years ago, and he was like, man, I wish I had that on a shirt. And I wanted to get it embroidered, but it's really hard to get that embroidered on stuff because you can't put that into the internet and then be
right.
Like, okay, sure, because I don't know who, you know, who really has an embroidery business, but it's not always us. So it wasn't so I had to make it myself, and he was very excited about it.
Well, it's very cool.
Hey, it's Todd Perry from Allison Rosen's other podcast, Allison and Todd After Hours. And one thing I always hear from people who listen to our show is that Allison and Todd After Hours is intellectually stimulating.
It's awful.
Because I was like,
yeah. No, were you dry heaving from the diarrhea, the bar, or the pee?
For more intellectual stimulation, check out patreon.com/AllisonandTodd. That's patreon.com/AllisonandTodd. Allison with one L and Todd with one D, because our parents couldn't spell.
Let's do Podcast Pals Product Picks.
Podcast Pals Product Picks.
This is where you share with us.
Okay.
The proper reaction.
Who needs a key?
This is where you share with us some items, products, things like that that you've been into lately.
One, my lip gloss, gigglegloss.com. All of the orders are packed by me and my mother. So if you receive an order of Giggle Gloss, from us, it is because we packed it.
Do you have now all the colors are super nice. Do you have a personal favorite?
No More Broke Tick.
I was looking at it and I'm like, oh, that one's so pretty.
But what I'll do is I'll put it on top of Future Wife,
mm-hmm.
or I'll put it on top of, Lafayette Majora, which is like a nice pink color. It's funny because like I'll give it to my friends and I'm like, oh, I can't let my daughter. And I was like, read it again. Also, your daughter should know all of her body parts. So, and one of my friends was like, I can't give my daughter something that says no more broke dick. I said, Dad, I understand. She's 12. But also, teach them young.
Yeah.
Let them know. Don't deal with what we had to deal with. I do love that. I love my Cricut. What's the product I'm really into right now? Actually, Boba Time Milk Tea is what I am into right now. I get it with no boba and no sugar. So it's just tea and milk. Just tea and milk. And it is the best thing ever.
Do you specifically like the tea from Boba Time with no boba and no sugar? Or like just anywhere milky tea?
Milk tea. Either their Gong Cha or Kung Fu tea. They named it, not me. Not being rude. But those three places I really like. They're like house or like classic milk tea. It's my favorite thing. That's where I'm at right now. I was in like, I literally was like at 99 Branch Market with my homeboy. And I was like, Santa, I'm like, what tea do they use to get the milk tea? I'm trying to figure it out. And there was an Asian lady standing there. And she's hearing me talking to my homeboy. And then she just pulled a bottle, just stuck it in my face. And I was like, gracias. And then I just put it in the cart. I ain't asked no questions. She heard what I was asking for. She didn't say, hey, this one. She just pulled a bottle off the shelf. And,
Interesting. So it's a bottle. It's not like loose leaf or anything.
Well, I think she was just, I've been looking in the bottle tea
Got
section.
It. Yeah.
And so because I didn't know what, like back, it was like, it's just a black tea. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, but there's a lot of black teas. That's a category. So like, I didn't know which one to get. I said, well, maybe they know it's got the bottle on. And she just was like, I was like, gracias. And then I went on about my life. But this is life right now. This is a milk tea. It's very, very delicious. I don't know if it's caffeinated. I have no idea. Because I'll drink coffee.
Oh, I bet it is. That's my suspicion.
I don't know. But like, I've never been a coffee person. Coffee smells great and tastes disgusting to me. But it's a nice little smell. Mm-hmm. But put it in your mouth. No grass.
So like no coffee ice cream for you.
No.
No tiramisu.
Yeah.
Nothing coffee flavored.
Not really.
That's what I'm hearing.
Not really. No.
Mocha? Like a mocha? Do you like that?
And then just coffee with chocolate in it?
Yeah, but I mean like the mocha flavor.
And then just coffee with chocolate?
Yes.
Sometimes. Like a little thing.
Okay.
It can't be a bunch of things.
Right.
Like a teeny guy.
A teeny guy. That's
yeah,
the
like
cutest
a little,
mocha ever.
Yeah, like a teeny.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm an adult. I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe like just a like a.
I mean, the fact that you drink tea without sugar means you are an adult because I wouldn't need to sweeten it.
I guess I just got used to it. I'm just like, if I'm going to get sugar, I'm not going to waste it in this. Also, it's so sweet. It's stupid.
You mean with sugar in it or like without sugar, it's still sweet?
With like, I tried, they sent me one the other, like I ordered some the other day and I was just like, because the lowest on, depending on like what the place, the lowest I could get was like 25%.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like, in the notes, I said no sugar, 0% sugar. And of course, they decided not to take my notes. And so I get it and it's 25% sweet and it's so sweet. And I'm like, wow. If this is 25%, 100 you must be chewing. You have to be.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it out alive. Like, you're not. Your blood is slow. So I am. But yeah, this is my favorite. This is my favorite product right now. This is my
boba tea.
This is my my milk tea with no boba. Because the thing is, if you do no sugar and then you get boba, then you get sugar again.
Yeah.
Because the boba is sweet.
Did you try the tea that the woman gave you at the store? Did you try it?
Yeah.
It was How sweet. Was it?
Because I specifically said no sugar and then it definitely said sugar. And I was like, she recommended it. I'm going to just try it. It was good. She was right.
Do you know what kind it was?
I didn't read her label. All I know is I took a picture of the bottle and I'm going to come back because my brother used to show me Google Translate.
Yes, I've heard of this.
And so you can put it on any product and it'll translate live because it's like some words, like we were looking at the bottle, it was like some of the words were like what it is and some of the words were like long life, longevity, tastes great. So it's like other advertising stuff and you're like, all right, what are the highlights? Like what image?
Which one indicate? Yeah.
What tells me this is a black tea? And sometimes when they have the English label on the back, it's like black tea with sugar. And you looked at it, you're like, oh my God. So, but yeah. So now I know I took a picture of it. I know what I'm looking for.
Excellent. And then also, do you happen to have a Just Me or Everyone? Do you know what that is?
Tell me again.
Okay. So this is the one where it's like something that you do where you wonder, is it just me or everyone who does this? while you think, we have a song, unless you think you don't have one. And you know what? Then we'll just trim it. We have a song. What do you think?
Sometimes I ponder on something I have thought or done. Is it just me or everyone?
All right.
Honey mustard with French fries.
Oh, that's got to be everyone who knows what they're doing.
Okay, because I do mayo with French fries too, but I'm afraid to tell people. Because I heard that's very European.
It's very, it's very UK, continental. Yeah. How, yeah.
One of my friends was from Curacao in high school. I mean, in college. And Curacao was a, so many got colonized by everybody, which is wild because the island is that big. But last known, it was a Dutch colony. Mm. And so she was the one that put me on fries with mayo in college. And I was like, oh, you done messed up now. And so that is my thing. So it's either like, if I get fries, because I don't like ketchup. I've never liked ketchup. My little brother said to me one day, ketchup doesn't make food taste better. It makes food taste like ketchup. So I've never been a ketchup person. And so, yeah, mayo with a fry or honey mustard with a fry is my new gig.
Yeah, I can't. Mayo with a fry, I can't do. I'm not European enough.
Yeah, I'm not a mayo person in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Your sandwiches be dry?
Yeah. No, yeah.
What?
I mean, not completely dry.
What you put on the bread?
I don't really do a ton of sandwiches, but yeah, it just depends.
He's not a cold cut guy.
Yeah, I don't like cold cuts. It's not what? That I don't like them. I just, I much rather have a hot sandwich if I'm.
And
I'm
what kind of hot sandwich?
Like a chicken sandwich.
Okay.
Like a fried chicken sandwich or grilled if you want to be healthier.
You want to do a chicken salad? Tuna salad?
Nah.
What?
Mm-mm.
How you make deviled eggs?
I don't want that.
Where are you from?
I do.
Michigan, originally.
Mm, wait a minute. Y'all may be kicking casseroles and stuff. Like a hot dish.
Yeah, occasionally. But, I mean.
A lot of it's got mayo in it. It's make it hot.
Yeah, I mean, I.
Do you like hot mayo? Well,
yeah, now we're talking. Yeah, I don't, I don't deal with
mushroom.
It too much.
That's what you like. You want cream of mushroom mixed with any type of canned vegetable.
Is that how the hot dishes are made?
Yeah. It's either cream of chicken or cream of mushroom.
That sounds good to me.
Or cream of celery mixed with a canned vegetable.
Is this a pro or an anti-hot dish room?
I mean, I didn't grow up with casseroles, but I'm from the South, so I don't know. I mean, isn't lasagna a casserole technically?
I mean, really, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the only thing. Listen, a Stouffer's lasagna, changing lives. Feeding the masses. My mother would take, you know, because they take 7 years to defrost. And then my mother would cook them, but then she would go through and, like, hook them up. So, like, she'd add, like, extra stuff to them.
Like what?
Like, on the meat one, the red one, she'd, like, cook extra sausage or go on and just put extra stuff in it and then just put it back in the oven. And then the veggie one was basically just the veggie one.
That's smart.
You gotta hook everything up.
Yeah, improved it. Potato salad, Tony?
I actually don't mind potato salad.
Aha, we found the secret. I can
mayo
deal
with
mayo allotment.
In things, but if it's like over, if there's like a shitload of mayo that's like overwhelming everything.
Macaroni salad?
Eh, not really.
I had some deviled egg macaroni salad the other day.
That sounds like a nightmare to me.
It was pretty good. All it was macaroni salad that had mustard and
egg yolk in it.
Egg whites.
Egg sperm.
I imagine there was egg yolk in there too.
It's a deviled egg. The whole point of a deviled egg is that you take a hard boiled egg, you cut it in half, then you take the yolks out, doctor that up,
yeah,
and
put it back.
Squeeze it back in there.
Right.
That's the only time as a kid. That's the only time in my life, like as a child, like I did not know what you use paprika for, other than sprinkling it on top of deviled eggs,
yeah,
or on top of potato salad, or on top of macaroni salad. We didn't use it to season anything.
For the longest time, I thought that paprika actually had no flavor. It was just like a colorful garnish.
Yeah.
But it does have a little bit. It has a flavor.
Well, I found out that paprika is just red bell peppers that are dehydrated.
Which doesn't sound that good to me.
I can tell you if you're, because for a long time, I was like, what is this for? And then I did like shishitos in my air fryer, or I did like cauliflower. You know when air fryers popped off? We were all like throwing stuff in air fryers.
So
like,
yeah, everything.
Shishitos or like other veggies like in olive oil and paprika and then put that in the air fryer with some cumin, of course. And that has a flavor to it. But for a long time, I was just like, yo, what is this? I would have paprika. I'm like, what are we doing? What is this for? Who is she? Who is she?
Right.
So show yourself.
Do you remember when Instant Pots were like the pre-air fryers?
The Instant Pot. I could never figure. I always thought they were like, hey, you live in a dorm room. You want to cook? Or, hey, you're divorced. It's like, you can't have a hot plate in here. So right. Have a hot pot.
Right.
Yeah. My mom used to sell the herbs that they use for like the Korean hip baths. So she would sell them with hot Instant Pots. But yeah, I had a stove, so I didn't pay the Instant Pot too much mind because
yeah, I got sucked up in the Instant Pot for furor. No,
wasn't Instant Pot either.
Fervor.
Yeah, that's
yo, you want to cut that?
Maybe trim that. I don't know. That
aren't you Jewish?
Yeah,
cut that. Put a tail on that. Cut that. You don't need them problems. Cut it.
Fervor.
There it is.
There we go. Yeah, I got sucked up in it.
The crock pot of it all?
Yeah, it's essentially a crock pot that is just
a 400. Like,
it's very fast, but it took me not very long to make food that didn't taste good.
Ha! I remember they gave them to us one year as Christmas presents at the Daily Show, and they were so big.
Yeah, they're huge.
That everyone was just like, they won't fit in my New York apartment. And at the time, I had like a foot of counter space. So I was like, I can cook. Also, I don't want to cook chicken for 7 hours. That doesn't seem like a good idea.
Right.
Doesn't sound safe. So I gave one of the interns my Instant Pot. Because I was like, hey, bro. And then like one of the other guys, I was like, hey, there's nowhere in my desk. I sit at a desk. Can I put my Instant Pot in your office? I was like, sure. So his Instant Pot lived on top of in my office for like a year and a half. It was just so big. But like, now I don't need some $7,000 crock pot. I'm good. Also, crock pots are really for dips and
chili.
Dips, chili, and baby shower meatballs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The last time I saw someone with a giant crock pot, it wasn't a baby shower, but it was this like baby class that I went to when we had like a thing on someone's roof. And they brought out the crock pot.
You know how to make those?
I don't.
The baby shower meatballs?
Mm-mm.
You get pre-cooked meatballs for the freezer section. It's one part Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, one part grape jelly.
What?
Yep.
That's like, yeah, I've made them too. There's like a slightly different version that's, I forget what the
strawberry
sauce is.
Strawberry jelly.
But it's like, jellied cranberry sauce or something like that.
What?
And then I forget what the...
I'm giving you the good Christian Southern recipe for them.
Grape jelly?
Mm-hmm. That like sounds, a Welch's grape jelly.
Does not sound good to me. I mean, I'm sure it is good, but...
Listen. Sometimes you're not supposed to know how the sausage is made.
Okay, I must admit, I'm not familiar with something called baby shower meatballs.
See, that's the problem. You don't know the baby shower meatball. Because when I had a party at my... Because when my Netflix thing came out, I had a party at my house. I did chicken wings, my grandma's recipe, where it's like the mojo Cuban barbecue sauce marinade, and then baby shower meatballs. And when I told my friends I got baby shower, they were like, "Oh, you got baby shower meatballs, girl! I know you was doing baby shower meatballs."
So they all knew this name.
Yes, but I had a lot of people from like black people from the South there. Mm-hmm. So like Southerners, regardless of background, baby shower meatballs. We all know this thing.
And are they usually served at baby showers?
Yes.
Tony, you knew of them though.
Well, I never heard them called that, I don't think. I feel like I always just heard them as, I think, party meatballs, people call them too.
Very specific flavor to baby shower meatball.
Yeah.
All right, now
I need
to try it.
Seems like it is slightly different. Yeah, the one I looked it up. The one that I've done is
did you look up
jellied cranberry sauce and chili sauce.
And you looked up party meatballs?
Yeah.
Look up baby, it's a very specific, look. Google baby shower.
Yep,
meatball.
It auto-filled as soon as I...
Are these small meatballs or are they regular size?
They're the full size, but you just buy the frozen ones.
Okay.
I don't know anybody who's out there like...
rolling them.
Ma'am, that's God bless. But yeah, it's a very specific recipe.
Now I know.
Baby shower meatballs.
Even though the idea of grape jelly, no, but I think I've been sold.
Yeah.
What are you finding?
It's weird. You type in baby shower meatballs, but most of the then... results call them grape jelly meatballs.
Oh, wow.
But it, yeah, I did see one that called it that. There it is.
Heathen, Yankee heathen. We don't want that. We don't want the Yankee recipe. Can't trust these Yankees. No one's buying Northern food. You're buying Southern food, soul food. And I'm telling you right now, good God bless America, Southern, non-secession. And it's grape jelly, sweet baby Ray's barbecue sauce, little garlic powder, some pepper. You can make them spicy if you want to. You can make them not spicy if you want to.
What do you do?
I didn't do spicy because I had a bunch of people coming over. And then the chicken was going to be a little spicy. So you can't do spicy and spicy.
Mm-mm. Can't go spice on spice.
Can't go spice on spice. Can't go big on big. So yeah, you can't do that to people. But yeah, a little charcuteries and all of that. But yeah.
Dulce Sloan, it was so delightful talking to you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Everyone, go out and buy Hello Friends. And plug anything else you'd like to plug.
Ooh, when's this come out?
Monday.
Wait,
what day is today? Oh, today is Monday. In
Next
1 week.
Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. What am I going to plug? What am I going to plug? I'm going to be at the Jacksonville Comedy Zone, April 11th through the 13th. And then I'm going to be at the LA Book Festival, April 20th to the 21st. And, yeah, I think that's the main things I'm plugging right now. You can buy my book, Hello Friends, on Al Gore's internet. Also, if you go to premierecollections.com and look me up, you can get a signed copy of the book. I had to sign. They sent six, they have a car called book plates. Mm-hmm. And they just send like 600 stickers to my house. And then I had to sign 600 stickers. So, yeah, buy my book to make sure my mama never works at Amazon again. Buy my lip gloss at gigglegloss.com. And, you know, my mama loves to go to the post office. So I pack yours up with her. And then she goes to the post office with the dog.
Do you have like a closet full of lip gloss in your house?
I have an office, which is also the cat room. And so I have a whole... I have a sign up. It's the Giggle Gloss Distribution Center. And so it's not a closet. It's a designated area where we put out the lip gloss. We've done very well. We've had like we launched on April Fool's Day last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had close to 400 sales.
Amazing.
So yeah, we've moved a lot of lip gloss. We also sell them on the road. So I'm going to be at the Emus Theater this weekend. And so now on the road, I take my colors and I take Lace's colors. So people get the whole collection.
Nice. And I would like to remind everyone that I am on Patreon. Patreon.com/AllisonRosen. You know, in a typical show in years past, by now, you would have heard so many ads. I would have been segueing to this and that, and you would have been like, my God, she's so good at segues. I'm not that great anymore. My segues are getting rusty because ads are thin. However, you can directly support the show, patreon.com/AllisonRosen. Do an annual subscription and get 2 months free. Also, I have a Substack, allisonrosen.substack.com. Get to all my stuff at allisonslinks.com. And then also, of course, the new edition of my book with new material, Tropical Attire and Courage and Other Phrases That Scare Me. Check that out and leave a review if you do, please. Tony.
I'll just say April 6th, if you're in the LA area, I'll be playing with Don't Stop or We'll Die at the Lodge Room. Our friends the Sloppy Boys will also be playing. So yeah, come out there.
Oh, I know. Hold on. I'm going to be on at the Comedy Store March 25th for the Barbies show. That's what's going to happen. I'm doing stuff. Yeah, the Barbie show. That makes sense.
The Barbie show.
I think that's what it, I believe that's what's happening. Yeah, it's at the Comedy Store March 25th. And
so go tonight. That'll be when this airs.
Yeah, go.
Get on a plane and go.
Get on.
And then also, of course, we have to mention The Great North. Yes. Wendy Molyneux is an old friend of mine. We went to college together. She comes on the show frequently. She actually, because periodically she'll be like, you should have these people on your show. And she recommended you. And I was like, that's amazing.
She's great.
Then your publicist reached out to me. And I'm like, I was just going to ask for your contact info from Wendy. So, yes.
It was supposed to happen. It was supposed to happen. I was supposed to be here.
Meant to be.
But yes, I do believe I'm trying to... Internet is hard. I know it's March 25th. I know it's the Barbie show. And I'm going to listen. Reg Tigerman was like, oh, this is so cool. And I was like, thank you. I forgot I was even doing it.
Tony, would it come up on the internet if Tony Googled? Because he might have faster internet.
Oh, no. Just looking for things on the internet is hard. because you got to do things. You got to do stuff. And you know somebody sent you something.
Yes, it's impossible to find when you're trying to find it.
And it's impossible to find when you're trying to find it. Or you're like, man, this is messing up. And then somebody goes, no, it's not. It's absolutely fine. And you're like, how dare you? Also, my phone has been doing this fun thing recently, which is like, it'll just put things in a place. Because one of my friends sent me a picture. And I was kind of like, because I sent him a picture of me, like, outside his office. Mm. And then he sent me a picture of, like, I'm not at work. And I was like, I know, so I'm outside your office. And I went to find it, and it was just gone. It was just gone. And I looked at her photos, and it was there. I was like, you sneaky bastard. I was trying to show my friend how handsome you are and how annoyed I am that we're just friends. So, so many men want to be my friend. It's so gross. I don't know when this started. I guess.
Enough with the respect.
Boo, I didn't ask for this. Because you know when men respect you, they don't want to sleep with you.
Yeah.
And man, I get so much respect in this industry. Man, so many comics just being like, oh, you're so funny. I'm like, damn it. Never going to see his penis. All right. Well, thank you for the compliment.
Well, I hope you find non-broke-ass dick.
I'm trying.
That's worthy of you.
Listen, girl, because I don't know if you saw my half hour, but for a good minute, I was trying to get me one of these Jewish menses, because, you know, I pray to a Jewish man every day. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Jesus. And so, he's Jewish, but don't tell nobody. Especially the very confused Christians. Sidebar, that's why anti-Semitism never made any sense to me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, but you talk to a Jewish. Just asked him for something. You can't be mad. It makes my head
hurt.
It's
real confusing.
It's very confusing. I'm like, you got to pick a different religion. I think you don't know what's going on over here, girl. You're paying attention. You got Old Testament. I think you messed up. Anywho's. So I was trying to get me one of those. I have the whole bit about like being in New York and playing a fun game I like to call Jewish or Italian. I'm like, hey, these are just white people in Georgia, so I don't know what the difference is. I just saw glasses and curly hair. Just went on with it. I don't know. He's writing a screenplay in a Starbucks. But, yeah, it's – for me, it's just a nice man with a nice job who is affectionate and is affectionate and supportive and, like, wants to – this is the other thing that I realized is like I run several companies and my brain just takes up. So sometimes just somebody going, hey, this is where we're going to go eat. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Or, hey, move here. Like just with one of my friends, like when my homeboy, his main thing is just being like, let's go. Mm-hmm. we're not. But also I did realize I was seeing this guy and he was like, he was ready to leave. He's like, yeah, I'm ready. I was like, we ran into some of my friends. We were talking and he was like, I'm ready to go. And I was like, I'm not. And then this other guy I was seeing at one point, he was like, yeah, I'm ready to go. And I'm like, okay. And I realized like if some dude I'm seeing wants to leave and I'm like unfazed by it, I'm like, oh, I don't.
Not into him.
No, because I don't care what you need. Mm-hmm. I don't care you're ready to go. I'm not ready to go. So I'm going to stay here. You can go if you want to. But then other times it's like, oh, he's ready to leave. Let's go. And I don't have a prop, but it's like, it's a weird thing. Cause it's like, you know, where you can't be like, yeah, there's the whole idea just like where shifting things, not shifting things. It's just like traditional versus non-traditional. But like me, it's just like, I just want to be able to be around somebody where I don't have to make a decision all day long. Mm-hmm. And I know you well enough, because here's the thing. It's like, we're in this place now where we don't like, it's like, well, men are upset. Like, well, these women don't want us to lead them. And it's like, that's not what's happening. So many women have been led off a cliff because they had no other choice.
Yeah.
And so now, because we're able to earn money and we're not just thrown and just, we're not given to men anymore, it's, well, you can't lead me off a cliff because I drove here. And if we're in the same car, I can step out and be okay.
Yeah.
So it's not, all of the women before us didn't have the choices that we have. So now it's like, we can be in a place where we're more safe. We can be in a place where we're more secure, and you're not dependent upon another human being for your livelihood.
Right.
But for generations, there have always been women that worked. But it's, you weren't forced by society to have to marry this man and be attached to this man. And all of your, you can earn enough money to take care of yourself. And when you get to a place where you can earn enough money to take care of yourself or your family as well, now it's, I want you to be here, mm-hmm. and I need you to be here, but I don't need you to be here to keep me alive. So I have no problem with you being a leader. You want to be a leader of a household? Be a leader of a household. But be somebody I can follow. Don't be mad at me because I don't want to follow. I'll follow. Be somebody that can lead. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. All these women don't want to. No. All these women have watched women for generations before us end up dead, literally. Most of the women that are in jail are because of a man.
Yeah.
So we now are in a place where we can say, hey, I don't have to be in this position. I can leave and I will be okay. I can support myself. I will be fine. So now it's, you want to lead, lead, but be somebody that I can follow.
Right.
So all these men lead, on all these different podcasts, and these women don't want to, it's not that, it's you.
God, amen.
Because you're not somebody that somebody can follow.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a leader of men. You're not a leader of women. You're not a leader of dogs.
Yeah.
So if you want somebody to follow you, be a leader first. Until you figure out how to do that, no, you can't have my number. Because I want to be able to go, sir, here.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we are doing. I lead. So if I lead, I can't follow somebody who can't lead. What? How does that make sense?
Wait, if I...
I'm a leader, so I can't follow somebody who can't be a leader as well.
Right, right. You need a fellow leader.
We need to be on the same page. We need to be equally yoked. We need to be doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you cannot elicit...
trust.
Trust. I can't trust you.
Yeah.
I can't trust you to always be able to pay the bills. I can't trust you to be able to speak to me in a way that you are not going to try to hurt me, mm-hmm. because you are not secure with who you are or where you are. I will just leave. So it's the idea is like, well, women don't want to be in danger anymore.
Yes.
That's what it is. There's been too many times where we've just been like, well, I hope I don't die today.
Yeah.
I hope he didn't gamble away all his money. I hope he's not seeing some other, I hope he's not doing all of these things, mm-hmm. because if he's doing these things, we can end up on the street. Not end up on the street no more. I'm okay. So do something to keep me here.
Right.
So it's like, oh, men don't need women. Of course. Listen, women don't need men. Da, 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 da. We need men. Trash day is Tuesday. What are you talking about? You know how high my ceilings are?
We can't break down these boxes ourselves.
I'm very short. Sir, hi. Things are high. Help me. Also, hi. The ceiling is so far away. I need you to put the things in there.
Yeah.
You see light bulb? Light bulb dead. Help me. I have no problem doing that. But what I do have a problem with is you leading me to my demise. You making financial decisions when you don't have any money.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have an accountant? Oh, I can't talk to you. I have an accountant. So how do we, we're not living the same life. I can't trust you.
Right.
I can't trust you. So that's the main thing. is that I want a man that I can trust and be equally yoked with. I can trust you. I can trust you to do the things that you need to do. I can trust you because most people get divorced because of money, not because they fell out of love.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop acting like the money doesn't make it. People are going to be like, I'm crazy.
No.
Well, what about love? What the fuck? Who? I love my mama. What are we talking about? Well, what about love? What about love? You think I'm going to make me homeless? We have to be responsible adults. Well, it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. I like being inside. I like keeping my clothes and my shoes out of the elements. I like toilets. Have you heard of them?
They're pretty great.
They're pretty great. Indoor plumbing. Oh, so like we have to stop acting like that this isn't a real thing.
Yeah.
I had a lady in the junior league come up to me. I was house managing a theater. Lady pulled me to the side. First of all, always have a bank account he doesn't know about. And get your name on everything. House, cars, his businesses, everything. I'm 22. I have no idea what this woman's talking about.
Right.
I've not been given the option. She told me this 20 years ago, and I've always remembered it. The number of women, especially middle-aged white women, who have just slid up to me and been like, always have a bank account he doesn't know about. My husband left me out of 29 years, left me and my son destitute because he just got tired of having a wife. What?
It's fucked up.
And I'm supposed to love these fools? Mm-hmm. Oh, bro, you got to show me more than this. Like I said, no more broke dick. My ministry. Well, thank you. I didn't mean to ramble. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. The guy's out there. He's looking for you just as hard as you're looking for him. And
he better be, girl, because he is late.
I look forward to seeing what he's like when he finally shows up.
Me too. He better be tall, girl.
Thank you so much, listeners. Thank you for listening. I love you. You matter. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, do you know about the Allison Rosen Show? Time.